Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, I will admit it. When I saw this was the gospel reading for today, I thought, great. What am I supposed to do with this one? I don't think that this parable of the shrewd manager is at the top of anybody's list of favorite Bible stories. It is often considered to be Jesus' most difficult parable to interpret, both for us and for the biblical writers themselves. Because if you noticed, we basically get about six different interpretations at the end of the reading. Or even though scholars can't really agree on what the parable means, they do pretty much agree that the parable itself ends after the first half of verse 8. And the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. The end. The rest of the reading, so from the second half of verse 8 through verse 13, gives us a few different interpretations. We hear everything from make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, whatever that's supposed to mean, to whoever is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much, to the most famous one, you cannot serve God and wealth. So if even the biblical writers can't figure out what to do with this thing, how are we supposed to know what to do with it? And how is there any good news in this? Well, one helpful tip when looking at any biblical text is to keep it in context. All right, when we hear readings like this on Sunday morning, we only get one little snippet of the story. It's like watching one scene from a movie and not knowing what else is going on. So let's back up a little bit and see where this parable fits in the larger story. That might help to shed some light on it. Last week, if you recall, we heard a little bit from the previous chapter, Luke 15. We heard those parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The third parable in the chapter, the one of the lost sons, the one often called the prodigal son, is the last one we see. So Jesus told these three parables because some scribes and Pharisees were criticizing him for eating with tax collectors and sinners. Here at the start of chapter 16, there is no change in context. So Jesus is still at the same location, surrounded by the same people. So the tax collectors and the sinners are still there, his disciples are still there, and the scribes and Pharisees are still there. And the scribes and the Pharisees are fuming at him. They just heard him tell the story of the father and the two sons, and they clearly relate to the older brother. Right? They feel like they're the ones who worked hard and did what they were supposed to do, but they are furious that their jerk of a brother is the one who gets the party. Why should the father throw a party for this son? In the same way, why should Jesus be eating with tax collectors and sinners? Well, at the start of today's reading, we hear that Jesus told this parable, the manager, to his disciples. But in verse 14, the very next verse after this reading, we hear that the Pharisees, quote, who were lovers of money, heard all this and they ridiculed him. So it's clear that Jesus wants the Pharisees to overhear what he's saying. Also, notice the little jab that they were lovers of money. Right, that'll come into play a little later. So, knowing that the Pharisees and the scribes are still angry at him for the parable of the father and his two sons, I can imagine a conversation between Jesus and them going something like this. Jesus said, "Okay, guys. You think it's unfair that the younger son was given a party when he came home. You think he should have been punished. Well, let me tell you another story. Maybe you'll like this one better. Once upon a time, there was this landowner who entrusted his property to a manager. But then he heard that his manager was squandering the property. Well, then I bet one of the Pharisees said, "Hey, Jesus, you're just telling the same story in a different way. It's just like the son who squandered his father's property." "Oh, but is it?" Jesus probably asked. "After this manager squandered his master's property, the master fired him. He told him that he was completely irresponsible and was no longer fit to belong in his household." "Now you're talking," one of the Pharisees might have said. "Now you're getting the hang of it, Jesus. That's what's supposed to happen. I like this story." Remember, these guys loved money. So hearing that somebody mismanaged money and then got fired sounds right to me. "So then," Jesus continued, "just like the younger son from the other story, this guy also talks to himself about what he's supposed to do. And he decides to reduce the debt for the people who owe his master money." Well, then a scribe pipes up. "Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. He can't do that. He doesn't have that authority. He just got fired." Now, ignoring that comment, Jesus goes on. "And then when the master finds out about these reduced debts, he applauds the manager and tells him he did a great job." "No," the Pharisees screamed. "You're getting the story all wrong again here, Jesus. That's not how the world works." "Ah," Jesus could have said, "that's true. That is not how the world works. But I'm not talking about your world. I'm talking about the kingdom of God." Remember, these Pharisees loved money. That was their focus. Lots of people today are the same way too. Sometimes we are that way. Right, maybe we don't think that we love money, but how many of your decisions are still based upon money? You might think, that's too expensive, I can't afford it. Or, I'm not going to waste my money on that. Or, well, that's not a good investment. Also, we have this mindset of scarcity that says there isn't enough to go around. We want to make sure we have enough money. And the only thing that can fix that worry is more money. Right? Like, have you ever been upset that you didn't get a raise? Have you ever worried that the group you're involved in wouldn't have enough money to keep going? Have you ever been mad that you got a Jelly of the Month Club subscription instead of your Christmas bonus? Just saying. Right? We like money. The main character in this story, though, this manager, he doesn't think that way. It's not that he doesn't like money, he just doesn't see it as the main thing in his life. Right? Notice that he got accused of cooking the books. And often we assume that means that he was stealing and looking out for himself. Because that's what we would do. But we're never told that. In fact, when he actually does mismanage the funds, it is not to put more money in his pocket. Instead, it is to reduce the debts of others. And then the master commends him for it. Right? It's no wonder why the Pharisees ridiculed Jesus for this parable. Right? It started off great. In a world that worships money, a guy who didn't worship money got fired. Great. But then this guy goes out and reduces debts. this guy pays more attention to the needs of people than to the money they owe. And then he gets congratulated for it. Basically, if you think money makes the world go round, then you will think this parable is really messed up. It will not be on your list of favorite Bible stories. But if you think that love and grace and mercy make the world go round, then maybe this tough nut of a parable might start to crack. Now, this is not to say that money is a bad thing, right? It's not inherently good or bad. It's just a tool. But there's a big difference between loving money and using people compared to loving people and using money. And when the tables get turned like that, when our values get flipped around, then we start to ask, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? And that question, right, the very question that this story made me ask this past week, is actually a key to the entire parable. Right, in the story, the master probably asked, what am I supposed to do with this? When he heard that news about the manager. The manager then asked, what am I supposed to do with this? When he found out he was getting fired. And then the master asked himself again, what am I supposed to do with this? When he found out that the manager reduced those debts. This story, very much like Jesus himself, does not follow our patterns. Right, we think life is supposed to go a certain way, but then Jesus comes along and he just messes it all up. Well, that's because if following Jesus doesn't make you look at life differently, then you're probably not following him very well. But then where's the good news in all this? Well, the good news is in the fact that Jesus does turn things around. Think again about what we heard last week. Right? It seems ridiculous for us and for Jesus' original audience to leave 99 sheep and go find one. Or to tear the house apart to find one coin. But Jesus turns things around. And he says that you are worth looking for. In the parable of the father with the two sons, the party was thrown, and the father wanted both sons to attend. The love shown there is more important than the financial cost of the party. And perhaps the greatest twist to our world is that with Jesus, the dead don't stay dead. Right? Resurrection is true. And quite frankly, the empty tomb is the best example of something that makes people wonder, what am I supposed to do with this? This is not the way the world normally works. And that's the point. Jesus can be confusing. And yes, his parables can make us scratch our heads. And yes, things don't always go the way we think they should. But honestly, that's a good thing. Because if everything in life followed our rules, then all of us would be in sorry shape. Thankfully, Jesus is in charge, and money is not. Jesus is in charge, and debts are canceled. Jesus is in charge, and the dead are raised to new life. Jesus says and does things that seem completely unexpected. And he calls us to do the same. So perhaps when the world sees us as his disciples, loving people instead of loving money, then they might start to wonder, what am I supposed to do with you? And if they wonder that, take it as a compliment. Because maybe that's the true mark of a Christian. That you leave the world confused by the fact that you follow Jesus and not the values of this world. Even if they can't figure you out, don't worry about it. You, like this parable, can be both confusing and incredibly amazing at the same time. Because you follow Jesus. And that's good news. So in the name of the one who turns our world around, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.